Thank you to Phil and the Harmonics for our Marvelous Recovery 101.
They can put you in a better place. They can put a smile on every face. Tune in, tune on, Recovery 101. When you're lost and lonely in the dark, take a tip from Shelley, Bruce, and Mark. Tune in, tune on, Recovery 101. You'll find the booze in use. We'll help you lose the blues.
We don't throw rules at you.
Well, except Rule 62.
When you get that urge and feel that need, don't go drinking shots or smoking weed. Tune in, tune on. Insanity can be fun at Recovery 101.
Jingle. Recovery 101 does not speak for AA, NAOACA, GAPA, SLA, SLA, ACRRR, MMDRA, HAFA, Narcanon, Al-Anon, none of those guys. We just don't do it. All the views and opinions expressed here are those of the hosts and the hosts alone, because no one else would have them. Welcome to Recovery 101. My name is Bruce B., as always with...
Shelly.
Hi, Shells.
Hey, it's really hard for you because you say with, and then I say my name, and you totally want to say, and there's no third.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's true. So, something's coming up down here, right? Like next weekend. Oh, it'll already have happened by the time this show goes up.
Probably. It's...
20th or 25th?
25th anniversary of the movie Tombstone.
And a bunch of actors and stuff are going to be here.
Yes. The guy who played Johnny Ringo, Joanna Pacula, who played Big Nose Kate.
Which, to be honest with you, Big Nose Kate in the movie doesn't even remotely resemble Big Nose Kate in real life.
True.
Big Nose Kate.
But she's hot. Joanna Pacula.
Oh, yeah, oh, of course. Yeah, that's what I'm saying, because... Big Nose Kate was not.
Okay, Doc Holliday, Val Kilmer in that movie was hot. In real life, Doc Holliday looked kind of squiddly.
Well, he looked pretty sick in the movie, though.
Yeah, but he was like that sexy sick, like vampire sick.
That sexy sick. He was that sexy
he was Hollywood
sick,
sick.
That I'm about to die of tuberculosis sexy. Wow. You guys didn't know, but Shelley spends her off time over at the hospital in intensive care, checking out people. Is like, look at that accident victim there.
That's not Hollywood's sick.
He's that sexy sick right there. Yikes. Yo, when you go in looking for the pole dancing accidents, look at that guy right there. Oh, yeah.
Right, sure.
The guy with the broken neck. Yeah, oh, he's got that sexy sick going on. What was that movie? Magic Mike.
I don't know. I never saw it.
Oh, well, there you go. So... But there's another one coming up in...
August. The annual Doc Holidays.
Doc Holidays. And...
That's the one I want to go
to. Two Doc Holidays are going to be there.
Maybe. We definitely know one.
Dennis Quaid.
Yes. And he... Because he was in Wyatt Earp with Kevin Costner.
Yeah. And apparently he did a really good job in that movie. Now, I don't know. Did he... Because I haven't seen... We need to see the movie because I haven't seen that movie.
Yeah, but I'm not paying $14 for a digital download for a three-hour Kevin Costner movie. Just not happening.
It's $14?
Yeah. Well, we could rent it for $4, but I don't want to sit there and pay $4 for... I just don't like Kevin Costner movies. They're so long.
You know what we could do? We could look on YouTube for, like, the best clips from that movie.
That's true. We could do that.
We could do that. And then Val Kilmer may or may not be here.
Another option would be to rent it from the library.
How's Val Kilmer doing?
He has throat cancer, is from what I heard. And because that is what my maternal grandmother passed away from, it is particularly horrific and really vicious, hard on the body. You don't look anything like you looked before you got sick. I hope that I'm sure he's getting the best of care, but he's been sick for a while. And if it follows the same path that my grandmother's illness did, that's normal. They do an operation, radiation, chemo, yada, yada. They go into remission for anywhere from 5 to 20 years. My grandmother was sick in her early 70s and didn't get the fatal illness until she was 90.
Right, right.
So she had a good chunk of time after the first go-round, but when it comes back with a vengeance. And it's not pleasant. And from what I understand, he's already had his first go-round.
Yeah, well.
So he may or may not be there this summer.
Well, hopefully we can say that hopefully everything is, you know, that he's feeling well, whether he makes it or not. But
that's what I heard he had.
But you know what that means?
Maybe. Maybe that's what it means.
Maybe.
Well, I've got to get the.
Well, it's time for the boozy news and the news not fit for booze.
Okay. We have shout outs. I am hoping we have shout outs. You've put the lid down on the computer, and I'm a little worried that we're going to suddenly not be recording.
We're recording.
We have shout-outs to Neil, Bill, Fran, Lee, Tiffany, Robert, Roger, Dave, Elizabeth, Alexandria, Candace, Jay, Damon, Misha, Alan, Dan, Stryker, Paris, and Jane Lynn.
Woo! That's a grip.
That's a lot.
So I decided to look up Val Kilmer. None of these look real recent, except maybe that.
There's one that says health.
Oh. Well, I'll look at this one. Says recent.
Yeah, he's got a tracheostomy, throat cancer. Yeah.
Oh. Oh, yeah. Oh, man, that sucks. I feel real sorry for him. I mean, now they say you don't really look the same. He doesn't look that different, but
when they start doing surgeries.
Does he have to talk through that and breathe through that? Is that what that is?
Tracheostomy, you have to learn how to re-talk. You have to relearn how to talk when you have a tracheostomy.
Oh, well. Now I'm bummed for him because that really looks sucky.
However, it doesn't look like he's gotten to the last part where they start cutting parts of your face off.
Oh.
Yeah.
Ew. Okay. So, boozy news.
Okay, the next one.
I don't want the only boozy news to be they haven't had to start cutting pieces off of Val Kilmer's face because that's... horrific.
This is Damon sent this one in. Damon gets some good stuff. And he goes, I don't know how.
Piper got alien stuff, though.
Yes, that's true.
You know what? One of these times, Damon's going to be like, oh, I'll find an alien thing.
Well, I don't know if he
goes. He'll find a sex with aliens thing.
What I need to know, Damon, is do you subscribe to some sort of news digest or have an app or a program or something that filters this stuff? Because the variety of places he goes or he gets this stuff from is like, it's not just one place. You know how Fran was like famous for the Florida news?
Right.
She got most of that from the Sun Sentinel.
Now, but I'll give you a for instance. If you go to FARC, that links to a billion different
things.
But
I don't see a lot of these things on FARC when I was going to FARC all the time.
Oh, well.
Anyway. Damon's got the hookup, I'll tell you. This news hookup. This is the story of Anthony Clark, 23 years old, of Grant Pass, Oregon.
Oh, I've been there. Grant's Pass.
Oh, well, then they spelled it wrong in the story because it says Grant Pass.
Nope, it's missing an S.
He is in rather big trouble, and there for a lot of things here. I mean, this is kind of epic.
Oregon, which kind of makes it more epic because it's Oregon.
He stole a car. It was right in front of deputies who had just hooked somebody up for a DUI, and one of the deputies was there with the squad car waiting for the tow truck to come and take the car away, right?
And he stole the car
the DUI car.
That's awesome.
It was a Toyota Camry. Actually, there were two deputies sitting there waiting for the tow. After the suspect had been taken away. And according to the sheriff's office, he sped through multiple towns, crashed through a fence, ran over several spike strips, drove down roads the wrong way, and was finally arrested after ramming the car into another police cruiser, fleeing on foot into a mobile home park, and trying to steal another vehicle. Now, his reason for this...
I was going to say, it better be good because,
he was unaware that this was real life because he had taken some LSD and thought that he was playing Grand Theft Auto.
It's a good thing he didn't run anybody over.
So, yeah, I know.
Like on purpose.
So he didn't really realize, he said, that he was hitting a real car or running into a real person's house or... he thought that he was racking up points in a game.
I wonder, besides getting under the driving under the influence, if that would work. Because depending how much acid you took and how strong and how pure it was, I could kind of see that.
He didn't even, when he was arrested, he didn't even, when he was being arrested, didn't realize he was
Did he think it was part
arrested.
Of the game?
He thought it was part of the game. Can you imagine you're trying to arrest somebody and he keeps trying to hit the escape button?
That's perfect.
Now this story made me, this was a feel-good story, but it did not answer the burning question, which was, did he still give him the ticket? Damon sent this story in. Michael Patterson, who was a recently retired New Jersey police officer, was pulled over June 1st by Matthew Bailey. It was a minor vehicle, like a taillight out or something
right.
like that. It was not a driving offense, but like something wrong with his car.
Like one of those things that you should let...
Fix it ticket.
You should let the someone who used to be a cop off on.
Well, here's the thing, though. So he pulls him over, and they look at each other, and the retired cop says... reads his name on his badge, and the cop reads his name on his license, and they look at each other and both realize that the older retired cop was the one who delivered the younger cop in his mother's living room because she couldn't get to the hospital in time, like 26 years ago.
He better not have gave him a ticket.
I know. I'm thinking, aw, please. It was 27 years. 27 years ago.
Wow.
And they were very happy to be reunited. Let's see.
That's bizarre.
Yeah. Bailey asked the young trooper.
What are the chances of that?
Yeah, he asked the young trooper where he lived, and that was when he realized that it was really true because he recognized the address because he delivered a baby there.
Wow.
That's
amazing.
And now that they've been reunited, they have they also went to the both families went to dinner together later that week.
That doesn't answer the question,
so that
though.
The families could top off their remarkable reunion. It does not say anywhere in the story whether he gave him the ticket.
I don't think he did.
He couldn't have. I mean, I wouldn't, but still. I really want to know. Now Alan sent this story in. Our friend Alan B.
Okay.
It's almost to the pirate level.
Oh,
Because there is an unanswered question.
Well,
in the
people won't know what the pirate level is. So
yeah, the pirate level. Okay, years ago there was a story about these guys that went joyriding in a golf cart on a golf course and caused all kinds of mayhem. And when they were pulled out of the golf cart out of the ditch, they were wearing pirate costumes, and nobody knows why they were wearing pirate costumes.
Right. So,
but it's the cap around the story.
So when stories are unusual, we're like, the only thing that could make this better is if they were in pirate costumes.
Right. So I don't really understand. Okay, James Johnson, 30 years old, was arrested. This happened in England, by the way.
Okay.
Was arrested by police wearing a woman's bra, over his shirt and carrying a bag of potatoes as he entered the Travelodge in Eastleigh, which I don't know what, Southampton.
Okay.
Now,
what are the potatoes for?
There were complaints from other Travelodge people. It was supposed to be a one-night stay, and they'd been there 5 nights by then. And it wasn't just James Johnson. It was he and a few of his friends that had decided they were going to have a party and didn't realize how long it was going on. The other residents of the – or other, you know, travelers at the hotel started to complain, so the police went to check it out.
Even for me, an alcoholic addict, 5 days is a long-ass party.
So when they apprehended him in wearing the woman's bra over his shirt and carrying a bag of potatoes, his room was searched, and – they found ecstasy.
I bet they did.
A lot of ecstasy, apparently. Five something. I don't know what that is. Five.
What does it say?
MAPB. I don't know what that is.
I don't know what that is either. Someone can tell us if they know.
Yes, please tell us if you know. So he's got a room full of ecstasy with his friends and a bathtub full of potatoes. Because the bag of potatoes that was under his arm wasn't the only bag of potatoes. That they had all these drugs and women's clothing and a bag of potatoes.
But not just a bag of potatoes. A bathtub full of potatoes.
Yes,
that he was
the whole
adding the bag
he
of
was
potatoes
adding
too.
That bag of potatoes to the tub full of potatoes. Why? Why the potatoes? That's what I want to know. It was supposed to be a one-night welcome home drinking binge with his friends when he returned to Eastleigh.
Oh, no, it was a drinking binge, I'm pretty sure.
There were other drugs involved. The only one in the story that's listed in the story is the ecstasy. Yeah.
Well, they had their friend Molly over.
Well, Johnson said that he bought the drugs on the dark web for £750.
Oh, that's quite a few hits.
£750? Okay, then that's why it was
so
5 days
like,
long.
What is that, like $800?
Well, no, actually it says after testing, their charges were decreased because after testing, they found that the true value of the drugs was less than $300, that half of the drugs were actually an inert substance.
Oh, he got screwed.
Yeah, I did.
Don't ever buy drugs on the dark web. You shouldn't buy anything on the dark web. Especially, he better hope he didn't use a credit card or any kind, or all his stuff is emptied forever.
He was given 18. He and his friends were given 18-month community orders and required to carry out a 9-month drug rehab program. This does not answer the potato question.
No, it really doesn't.
I mean, I don't give a crap about wearing a bra over your shirt.
Maybe they were gonna try and make vodka or something.
In a hotel room?
I don't know.
In 5 days? I mean, Pruno, maybe.
I don't know. Well, I mean, potatoes make vodka, but, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. All right. But that's going to be running around my head for a long time. Why the potatoes? That's going to be like the ultimate question for me.
Was it a pirate's bra he was wearing?
It didn't say so.
Okay.
Yeah. Did pirates wear bras?
The females, probably not, actually, now
corsets.
That I think about it.
Corsets. Probably. Okay.
I'm sure if it was a pirate's corset, that it would have said that.
It would have said that. Okay. Oh, we're running over again. All right. Neil sent this story in. And I think actually, this is another one I'm not sure because the email was open when I went in there. It's about the stab-proof jacket.
Yeah, and the person got stabbed to death. And we did that one.
We did that one?
Yes, we did. That's where, like, the guy
stabbed
himself to death. Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. What an idiot. The first time it goes through, you got to know to stop stabbing.
Well, he only stabbed himself once. In the story, said he only stabbed himself once.
Like right in the heart or something?
Yeah.
Idiot. Yeah, we did that one.
Okay, well, then never mind. So we can go on to the last one, which is probably a longer story anyway. Damon sent this in, and actually it's an interesting story. If you get a chance to look it up, because, you know, we've always said, however you get recovery, however you get sober, whatever you got to do, do it.
Right.
Because it'll be better for you, and I'm not making any judgments about what you're using to stay sober.
Right.
This
This
is kind of supporting that. There is a live streamer on Twitch, and I guess this is a thing where they all play games together and they live stream their games.
Oh, my God. Twitch is like a huge thing right now. And you know what it mostly is? People pay to watch people game.
Yeah.
And there's actually, I think a guy is like the largest user of that. Like he had like 6 million people watching him game. And I don't know how much they pay, but, you know, that's a lot. But there are these girls that do it, like these, you know, over 18, but, you know, teenage girls that do it that are, you know, scantily clad and things like that.
Sort of,
and that's
sort
why,
of like Chatterbait.
Well, that's why all these, yeah, but they're playing a game.
Oh, okay.
But, you know, but they're scantily clad or they're hot, so all these guys click into it.
Mm. Well, there's a guy named, his streamer name is Pegs. And a few months ago, he wasn't real happy with what he saw when he looked in the mirror. He'd gained 145 pounds. He was regularly blacking out. He was going on rages at his family. And one night, woke up realizing that he had been live streaming being drunk and blacked out for 13 hours.
Oh, that's fantastic. I wish I could have seen that.
Well, apparently that's a thing. Live streaming you're drunk is a thing.
And it's weird because it's Twitch, which is supposed to be for gaming.
Well,
so.
Apparently they do all kinds of stuff on Twitch.
Apparently they do.
He has regular followers. He has a core of like, this is apparently what he does for a living. He has a core of like 50 regular followers that watch him live game every day.
Yeah.
But some of them started falling off when his behavior got erratic.
And if each of them paid like $2 for that,
that's not what we're focusing on. Who gives a crap?
I do. But it's fantastic.
Then you do it.
If I live stream me getting loaded.
Not getting loaded, playing a game.
I was going to say, people wouldn't want to see that because all they'd see is my ass looking out the blinds.
Yeah.
They're like, that's boring.
So anyway, he decided he needed to stop drinking.
Good for him.
And 12-step recovery programs were not for him.
Oh.
So what
did he
do? He searched on Twitch. Instead of drunk streaming, he searched for sober streaming, which is actually a thing. Sober streaming, people having conversations, people interacting with each other.
Yeah.
Then he started, he took a hiatus.
So in other words, a meeting but on Twitch.
Yes, but without the big book or anything. It's not 12-step. Related.
Right, but people talking about recovery just like they would in a meeting where no one mentioned the big book.
I guess, yeah, it's fellowship based.
Yeah.
He took a hiatus from live streaming his games to focus on staying sober, finding support groups and fellowship and stuff like that of the kind that he could deal with. And then when he went back to live streaming, he'd lost some of his followers, but he gained some other ones that weren't real thrilled with his drunk gaming.
Right.
And so now his feed is up, and every day that he goes in to live stream, he titles his game something like, you know, day 72, sober, here we are at whatever the name of the game is, whatever party's playing.
Yeah, cool.
And he's done that every single day. And his wife, who was skeptical at first, was like, this is the longest I have ever, in our entire marriage, that I've ever seen him stay that sober, and I hope he continues. And it's made a world of difference. So, you know, he's interacting with his kids. He's doing normal life things. And so that's kind of...
Good for him.
Yeah. It's the title of the article. At first I thought, oh, this is going to be good. But then it turned out, you know, it was like he's actually making an effort. And so that's another example of however you can get it, that's how you get it.
There you go.
Yes. And that, my friends, is the end of the boozy news.
Hey, I'm Dr. Drew, and you are listening to Recovery 101.
We're back. Welcome back, Shelley.
Hi. Yeah, we're here.
We should be twitching the radio show.
There's a thought. Look into that.
We'd have to, like...
I think that we'll be getting on board with that just about the same time as we get live callers.
But you know what? We would have to dress better.
We'd have to dress... I'm wearing clothes.
Okay, I'm not like naked, but I'm not like completely dressed either.
I would have to lose 30 pounds.
Well, you know, and I was preparing a thing because I thought I might try and do some videos for our YouTube channel or maybe even for Patreon.
How can we get back into that? We don't know nobody's going to be able to get back into that.
Well, we'll figure it out. But the thing is, I've noticed that all these guys, like these big name guys, Philip DeFranco and all these people who do Twitch, like we were talking about earlier, these guys all have like really nice cameras and stuff because we have the camera, whatever is in here. I don't even know if it really works, to be honest with you.
Now is not the time to try.
Well, I did use it to record a couple songs at the other store, but I downloaded this thing called Yacam. I don't know if, but supposedly it's one that a lot of people use for vodcasting or whatever. So I haven't tried it yet, but you never know. Maybe you'll see a Yacam. What did I say it was? Yacam.
Vodcam.
A Yacam bit up sometime. So, Shelley, we have a topic.
We do. Go for it.
Oh, come on. You can bring up the topic this time.
God didn't wake up this morning trying to play Bob.
So how did this come up?
In a meeting? Talking about something?
Wow.
I can't remember which meeting it was at, but why don't you tell it if you remember it so well?
Okay, so we're at a meeting, and it's the same meeting that the last topic came from. And there was a guy named Bob, and he was sharing, and he said, the kind of the topic of the meeting was like acceptance. And, you know, he was talking about how he has problems with acceptance and how he wants to run the show and everything. And then one day it occurred to him that God probably never gets up in the morning trying to be Bob, but he was getting up a lot in the morning trying to be God.
Yeah. We want to be the director. We want to run the show.
Right.
Run the lights. You know, choreograph the ballet.
If everyone would just do as I say, everything would be great.
Yes. We could manage well if only people would do as we say.
Right, right. So.
There's some secret little part of me that still believes that.
Well, okay. Now, see, that's where I was going to go with this because. And not necessarily just you or just me, but I think there's a lot of people that do this where their acceptance level is maybe not optimum when they think they're getting what God's will is because they're like, but God, that's not what I asked for.
Yes. Our friend Tara the other day said, sometimes the answer is no.
That's right. I'll give you an example. Which you didn't bring this up as a recent event in banter, but we were coming back from Sierra Vista and we got stuck in some traffic.
Oy.
And Shelly,
which in Arizona is highly unusual unless you're in Phoenix or Tucson.
And Shelly about lost her mind. I'm just telling you.
I completely lost my shit.
Well,
I
first
did.
Of all, she had forgotten to take her cigarettes with her.
Yes.
And
we've been gone for a couple of hours.
We spent probably a good 25 minutes
in traffic.
Trying to get through this light. And
we're stuck at a light. It wasn't like slow and go traffic.
Right.
We were stuck. Because they were doing it wrong.
And Shelly was getting a little
salty.
She was getting a little perturbed. And I kept looking over. I'm like, sure you don't want to hit off this cigar? You know, that might help you because, you know, she was like, God is not helping us out in this situation right here. And I'm like, how do you know? Maybe if we had gotten through that light sooner, we would have gotten in an accident.
And my response was, God doesn't like me that much.
God doesn't like me that much to kill me?
Finally, I had gotten, but see, the thing is, I wasn't like shouting out the window or involving anybody else in it. And I know you're not going to take it personally because you didn't cause the traffic jam. And finally, you looked at me and you said, wow, you're getting a little California over there.
Oh, yeah. You're going People's Republic of California right now. You were like, it was like you were having your own protest for something inside the car.
Where nobody else could hear.
Right.
But
instead of protesting, you know, whatever, Black Lives Matter or whatever number of things there could be a protest about in California, you're protesting the damn traffic jam. Now,
we're doing it wrong.
This is coming from a state where I used to drive over an hour to go 16 miles to Pasadena.
Yes, but I didn't have to do that. I worked 3 blocks from our house.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Yeah, not, I, you know, and I'm like, yeah. And the problem with Arizona is there is no other way to go.
Right. There's one road.
Where we're going from and to, oh, yeah, you could go another way, but it'd take an hour because you could drive all the way over to the 82, all the way up to the 80, back over to the 90, and then back down. Or you could just stay on the 90 where we were and wait for 20 minutes and get through.
Well, interestingly enough, you know, that was probably, I was being taught a lesson there. Because amazingly, once you said, you know, hey, you're getting a little California, it made me laugh. And once I started laughing, I was a little bit calmer. And then traffic moved again.
Well, and you know what? I don't think God woke up that morning and said, dang it, I'm going to be Shelly today.
Well, because if he did, then things would be different because everybody would be doing the crap the way I wanted it to be done.
Oh, and of course, that'd make everything better, right?
No, but it would be shiny and have glitter and sparkle and, you know, be blingy.
Yeah. Now, well, because this is kind of, I mean, it's a control thing, but it was also as a result of, acceptance. How are you with acceptance, generally speaking?
It depends on what it is.
If it's something you like, then you accept it really well. And if it's something you don't like, you don't accept it at all.
No, there are things, most things I'm like, oh, well, I can't do anything about that. And then there are things that I accept nominally, you know, prima facie, I accept them because they are and I can't move it or do it or change it or whatever. But that doesn't mean I'm not sick to my stomach about it and it's not causing me stress. And then there are things that I think are completely unacceptable and I'm sorry, F you, I'm not accepting that.
Well.
So there's levels of acceptance for me.
What I've
found, I'm not all Buddha over here going, oh, I'm one with the universe and accepting everything.
What I have found is that my acceptance level is 100% tied to my expectation level. So as we're pulling up and I see the traffic stopped a long way before the light, I think to myself, I expect we're going to be here for a freaking while. So when we're there for a while, I'm like, oh, look, I got exactly what I expected. But like if you go, I'm expecting to get through this light toot sweet, and it doesn't happen, now your acceptance level is really low. I always equate it with going to the movies. So you go to the movies, and whatever movie, let's say it's Infinity Wars. Now, I haven't seen it, but let's say it's Infinity Wars. And everyone says, it's the greatest movie of all time. It's going to be, you're going to love it. It's going to be fantastic. And you go, and it's really, really good. It's not the greatest thing you've ever seen. It's not the most fantastic thing ever. And because that's what people told you it was going to be, even though it was really, really good, your acceptance level might be low of it. Now, if you go to the movies and you have no preconceived notion, you go, it'll probably be okay. It's going to be a typical superhero movie. It'll be okay. It'll probably be good. And then it's good or it's really good. Now your acceptance level is exceptionally high, and it's the exact same movie, just with two different things. So we pulled up to the exact same stoplight. You're like expecting, like you're wanting to be home quick so you can grab a smoke and get some crunchy ice and all that and hop a shower. And I see the traffic coming. I'm like, well, we're going to be here for a while. And so my acceptance level is, hey, you know what? We're here for a while. Hey, I got exactly what I expected.
Yeah. Well, you know, the whole acceptance thing happened to me with Back to the Future. All my friends said that was the greatest movie ever.
The first one?
Yes, my expectation.
First one was fantastic.
My expectation for that movie was way higher than it could possibly deliver. And because I was disappointed because my expectation level was way too high, I didn't see any of the other ones.
And you know what's funny? Well, the other one's lame anyway. The first one was freaking fantastic. It was freaking, you know what? I expected it to be really awesomely good, and I thought it was really awesomely good.
Maybe I was expecting too much.
I mean, it had the local mall real close to where we lived was in it. It had Michael J. Fox playing Eddie Van Halen back in the 50s. It was fantastic.
I don't know. Acceptance is kind of because I place expectations on my acceptance levels.
Well, what was the thing you said?
Some things I accept because I don't have a choice, even though it makes me sick to my stomach and it makes me physically ill because I get stressed.
No, the thing I then said could be a topic for a dumpster fire.
Oh, it was acceptance is the problem to all my answers today.
There you go.
I said that in a meeting the other day and everybody looked at me like, what? Because that is part of my problem is I have a problem. There are some things like I expect people to not beat their kids. I expect them to not beat their kids, and they still do it. So I'm sorry, I can't accept that. There's certain things in the world that I cannot accept, and everybody's all, well, you have to accept that it is before you can change it. Well, you know what? I tried that. Still didn't change.
Well, do you believe that things happen in God's world by mistake?
In God's world, no. But when you're talking about situations like that, I'm pretty sure that's not God's world.
This is God's world.
I don't think God created that circumstance.
Did God create free will?
Yeah, but a five-year-old doesn't have that kind of free will.
But he created that then.
So, you
don't want me to jump into theology here.
So you're saying that he created
free will?
The man that abused his child, that's part of God's plan? I'm pretty sure that's man's plan. I'm pretty sure that's not God's plan.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Your higher power is not that strong. There's usually a reason for something.
There's no reason for that.
Well, I'm not encouraging that people should be beating their children. I mean, where were you that you watched someone beat their child?
No. I'm speaking, you asked me like about my acceptance levels. I'm using that as an example.
Oh, okay. Well,
although,
I mean, I could use something completely theoretical in my thing to support something too, but
although
I
will say that something that made me have a different attitude about gratitude when I was a teenager was going to an Alateen meeting and meeting a kid named Mike who had just been put into a foster home because his father, in a drunken rage, had poked out one of his eyes with a fork.
Oh, my God.
So, yeah, that changes your perspective on things a little bit. So suddenly
did that make you feel better?
Not about myself. I mean, because then I was like, wow. And here I'm upset because my mom wouldn't let me go to the mall and buy books for the fourth time.
Oh, and you didn't. And you didn't feel any better about that after that?
I felt badly for him and wanted to be his friend to try to help him.
Right, but I mean, that didn't make you feel that what you were complaining to your mom about was petty?
Yeah, it did.
Oh, so it did make you feel better.
No. To say that something makes you feel better would be like a boost. That's an emotional boost. No, that's not. I felt bad on two levels. Bad for him, and I was also glad that he was there because he was making friends and people were, trying to support him. But I felt bad that I, bitched at my mom for half an hour because she wouldn't drive me over to the mall to buy more books.
Yeah.
So there's no good feeling in there.
You didn't. But that's what I'm saying. You didn't feel better about your mom because she wasn't poking your eye out with the fork, and other people's family did that to them. You didn't feel better about your mom, like, you know what, mom, you're really more supportive than I thought. You didn't get mom got no cred for anything.
I was crappy to her.
Well, yeah, but you should feel better about. But you feel that way because you know she wasn't as bad as you thought.
Yeah, I think we're in violent, not quite understanding.
In violent agreement.
I don't know because I think that we're talking about the same thing, and you don't. You have different This is like meeting terminology. You think about things differently than I do, but maybe it's the same thing. Like they call them, panels out here are actually workshops in California.
Well. Panels in California when you take a panel of people into a place and speak to them.
Right, but when you have a workshop, when you're all sitting around brainstorming ideas and working on something in recovery, are panels out here.
Yeah, I don't know why that is.
I don't either,
because
but I think
it's not
that's
a
what
panel.
We're experiencing. I think that's what we're experiencing here.
I know, but you know what's weird? It's not a panel. When you go to it, it's a workshop. You're like, when you go to a workshop and they call it a panel, it's like, it's a workshop or it's a committee meeting or something like that. It's like, I don't know how they come up with that it's a panel.
That's what they called it.
Because they call it a panel when you take a group of speakers into a prison.
I get that, but
that's
I don't.
That's
an
H&I
I'm just
panel.
Saying, there's no H&I here.
Well, there's whatever they call it.
Yeah, it's P&I.
P&I.
I don't know why it's P&I because it's actually public information.
Okay.
I don't get it, but that's what they call it.
So what would your final thoughts be?
On this really weird topic that didn't turn into what we thought it was going to be?
On
this train
accepting,
wreck?
Accepting someone getting their eye poked out with a fork. On acceptance or, God isn't trying to be Shelley this morning.
That
today.
Really wasn't what we talked about, but okay, this topic kind of went off the
rails.
Well,
because it was a topic of acceptance, and the guy was saying that he felt like he needed to make things happen his way so he could accept it, but God doesn't do that.
I don't know. I don't know what to say for final words. Acceptance is a key that's not on my ring quite yet. It's on the dresser. I just haven't put it on my key ring yet.
I can't, he can, so I'll let him. Everybody try and leave it better than you found it and be the example.
Take care of you.
The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. When I speak, I only give you facts. That's because I want to help, not turn my back. So when I speak about my addiction, just know that grip was vicious. Yes, my story's real, not fictitious. So if you're listening, hey, you really need some help. Hear my words carefully, cause I done been through hell. Total cars, gun violence, I'm a lost soul. While I'm still alive, only the Lord knows. While I'm writing this song, yeah, I feel them all around me. Yeah, them demons wanna hold me back and then drown me. 23rd Psalm, read it repeatedly. When them devils crawl, no way they seeing me. I think the love for Trina murder was on my mind. Ski mask on my head, just waiting for the time. Then I see my phone ring, it's her hitting my line. She said I sound different, the devil's in my mind. Oh Lord, help me find a way out. Mentally, I'm stuck in a bad place now. My heart's lost, I'm reaching out for you right now. I'm torn, struggling with my life now. Oh Lord, help me find a way out. Mentally, I'm stuck in a bad place now. My heart's lost, I'm reaching out for you right now. I'm torn, struggling with my life now. If you need help, go get help, don't be ashamed. I wanna save as many people as I can, man. Slipping parking lots, dodging cops, I was hot. Planning for tomorrow? Really, I think not. Pain and tears, what I seen, looking in the mirror. Wipe the water from my eyes so I can see it clear. Friends and role models, dead and gone, not here. So the conscience in my soul gone, disappear. I'm putting trust in my God, so I walk with no fear. No longer the driver of my life, I let go and he steers. When I'm hurt, I just pray, he touches and heals. When I'm angry, he listens and knows how I feel. When he speaks, he says, sit down, child, and be still. I know he sees that fire in me while holding my steel. If I get to moving crazy, it might get real. Read the 70th Psalm and it gave me chills. Oh, Lord, help me find a way out. Mentally, I'm stuck in a bad place now. My heart's lost, I'm reaching out for you right now. I'm torn, struggling with my life now.